Good to see you here this evening. Had a good morning this morning, had a good number. Appreciate everybody that invited someone, brought someone. And, you know, we pray that those that have visited with us will want to continue to come back and visit us again and learn more about God. And may we pray that prayer this week for all those that were with us this morning. Thank you for your efforts in these things. You know, continuing on with the thought that we talked about this morning as far as does the 21st century need God, I want us to think about our nation tonight for just a moment. This isn't this lesson is not pro-United States, but it's pro-type of people. And I want us to consider that this evening about the kind of nation that we have been as a result of the kind of people that have been a part of this nation. You know, this nation is founded in Christian principles of conduct. And, you know, we understand that when we say that, we're not necessarily saying that people were members of the Lord's church, but they certainly function from a lot of Christian principles, the principles that we hold dear and that many in the world that are not part of the Lord's church hold dear in their own lives as well. You know, it has been the reason for, and I believe for this nation's great success over time. A Frenchman came over, Tocqueville came over, and he was observing the United States in the early 1800s as the French were considering their revolution, considering the kind of government that they wanted to have. And he wanted to see if France could copy what the United States had or if countries in Europe could copy what the United States had. But as he went around the United States, he came to a conclusion about us. He said that faith was at the very core of every one of their communities, was at the core of their people. And he said, that is why what they have in the United States will never be able to replicate in Europe, because we simply do not have people and communities of faith like they do. You know, so he recognized, as he looked at the early United States, he recognized that it was this faith that people had, this faith that they had, these Christian principles that they held, that made the United States what it was even then. So what would have been lost if this was not true? If the United States had not, if we had not always had a kind of a God majority in our country, a Christ majority in our country, people that were dedicated or at least looking toward Christian principles, what would our nation have been like, or what would the world be like if that had never happened? I want us to consider that if the United States never had Christ or the Christian principles found in the Bible, that the world would lose the great generosity that the American people have shown. You know, helping those that are suffering is the Christian way. It is a part of the Christian life. And it comes from ultimately our love for others. As we love all mankind, as we love even those that despise us, that we love our enemies, it comes from that we would be generous, that we would be kind. It comes from our compassion that we have on those that suffer, the compassion that we see in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He lived upon this earth. And at times He would see the sick there that were being brought to Him, and the Bible says that He felt compassion upon them and healed them all. It wasn't about faith. It wasn't about making a point. It was just about being a compassionate, loving Lord. Now, there were times Jesus did miracles to make a point. There were times that He did miracles for a lot of reasons, but there were other times that it just flowed from the kind of loving, compassionate person that He was and that He is today. You know, counting on the deep Christian roots of our nation, the original design for our country was for those in need to be taken care of by their local communities. I mean, they just believed that it would be natural for a community to take care of those in need. I mean, the Christian principle was so ingrained in them that if there is a person in need, certainly the people in the community would make sure that that person was helped. And you know, the founding fathers and those that started our country kind of believed that ultimately that was the best way, because who best knew the people that were really in need than the local community? You know, there are so many people today that need help. There are so many people that need assistance in some particular way. And yet so many of them suffer because there are a large number of people that don't need help and yet take from those that do. And you know, that's because the nation is so large and the bureaucracy is so large, you can't keep up. You can't truly know whether a person has need or not. But they saw that as a community need. You know, these communities were strongly tied to Christian generosity and care, and they would take care of those things. In the 1800s, Congress considered a $10,000 bill for farmers that were suffering in a famine in Texas, and they decided it really wasn't their place to help them, and so they threw it down to Texas and asked the people to help those farmers, and those farmers got far more money than the federal government was even considering to give to them just from their neighbors that were around them down there. And so they knew that generosity was there, and they offered that to them. You know, this generosity is born out of the Christian roots of this country and was probably best seen in the last 100 years. You know, at the end of both World War I and World War II, people in Europe were starving with no crops and no food. They were in a crisis where millions were just weeks away from dying. And the American people, at the end of both of those wars, gave to the people of Europe so that they could be fed. We fed even those that were our enemies. No nation has ever done what the U.S. has done to take care of its enemies, to do kind things for their enemies, to rebuild Germany, to rebuild Japan, to make sure those people had what they needed to survive. What other nation have we ever seen in history that did that? It's because of the kindness and generosity of the American people. Millions were organized under Herbert Hoover to do this. In between 1921 and 1923, in the nation of Russia after World War I, America was feeding 10.5 million people a day. That came from American generosity. You know, we accomplished that similar effort after World War II. And after World War II, we rebuilt Europe under the Marshall Plan. And we rebuilt Japan, once again, our enemies, and we gave them back their lands. We did not keep their lands. We didn't covet their stuff. We only helped them to become better nations than they were before. Romans chapter 12 and verse 20 says, "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink." You know, we look at that and we look at who we our allies today. It's Germany and Japan. Why? Because we treated them as we should have. We gave them food. We gave them drink. We showed our Christian principles even after very costly wars on our behalf. Today, if there is a disaster anywhere in the world, other than Churches of Christ Disaster Relief being there, right, Ken? I got to throw that in. If there is a disaster anywhere in the world, I can promise you, if they can get there, the U.S. Navy will be offshore. Aircraft carriers will come in at the cost of tens of millions of dollars a day to operate, that we foot the bill to help. We go in with helicopters to help countries. In the tsunami in the Indian Ocean in 2004, our Navy was there first thing, helping, helicoptering people to safety, and doing the things that a lot of countries could not do. And when you look at what we gave as American people and what our government gave, no five countries can be added together and come up with what we did. Only country close was Australia, and that was because that was in their backyard, and they gave half of what we gave. American people gave so much. There were many Christians, members of the Lord's Church. Denny Petrillo and a lot of the men from Bear Valley were on the ground in India within 2 days of that tsunami to try to help and to bring money that had already been given by members of the Lord's Church to those Christians that were there and in need. You know, in 2011 in Japan, once again, the United States, largest contributor to the help there. Haiti, we were immediately on the ground to help that terrible crisis after the earthquake a few years back. How many people, when we think about God and our Christian roots and the generosity that that has brought about in our nation, how many people would have suffered and died over the past 100 or even over the past 10 years if it was not for the kindness and generosity of the American people? A kindness and generosity that comes from God. We also consider the protective nature of the United States, both in World War I and World War II. We can see that. You know, we were already, before we even entered World War II, we were already helping nations that were on the verge of being conquered. Great Britain and Russia, we were sending them things in Lend-Lease programs. We were finding ways to get arms and other things to them to help them, to keep them from being conquered by the Nazis. Even the attack by Japan upon the United States was not a product of Japan just wanting to attack the United States. It was a product of the fact that when they did what was called the Rape of Nanking in China and killed tens of thousands of Japanese women and children in that city, the United States said, that's enough. And we cut off the oil from the United States to Japan. And that's what led them to attack us. Because we were trying to protect people that were being oppressed by the Japanese. A lot of people say the United States, the atomic bombs dropped there were so horrible and cruel. And yet such people never count the cost of how many Japanese civilians would have died had we invaded. Our government did count that cost. They estimate more than 3 million Japanese would have had to die if we had invaded the homeland. And yet we decided, instead of 3 million Japanese civilians, 500,000 American soldiers, that we would drop those atomic bombs and take those losses, which are far fewer. I found an interesting story that says a lot about how the world views the United States. There was a lady in Bosnia back in the 90s. And on an evening in her village, an armed group of men came in, gathered up all the men, including her husband and her son, and killed them in the street. Hundreds of men. She lost her husband and her son. And this is what she said. And by the way, this happened with European peacekeepers who weren't allowed to bring guns. I don't know how you keep peace without guns in a war zone. Stood there and watched. And she said, I knew it would never end until the United States stepped in. And it didn't end until the United States stepped in under Bill Clinton in the mid-90s. So she understood our protective abilities. You know, people today tend to not care. People tend today to not care about whether people are suffering, whether people need help. A few years back, a man was hit by a car in an Arizona parking lot. An elderly man was hit by a car and he laid there with his bags of groceries spilled out around him as people walked around with their shopping carts and went to their cars to go home. What does that say about what we're becoming compared to what we have been? You know, we believe in this country that there is right and wrong in this world, and to stand by and let wrong be continue on is by default to support it to a certain degree. And that right or wrong conscience is something built in us from our Christian principles. For there has to be a source for right and wrong. And that's how we look at the world. That's how we have looked at the world, but yet that is starting to change. How many people and nations would be in the grips of totalitarianism or oppression if not for the United States today? There would be no South Korea free. There would be no Taiwan. There would be no France, no China, no England, no Poland, no Czech Republic, Austria. Just keep going. And you're going to find the countries that owe their freedom and their life today to the sacrifices made by the Christian people in this nation throughout the last 100 years. It bothers me today when I hear people talk about this country. I'm not saying we're perfect, and we're not. We're far better than most. And we're far better than most, not because we're Americans, but because there is a heritage of Christian principle. Henry Rogers tonight, and as we conclude, a brilliant lawyer a few years ago wrote a book entitled The Eclipse of Faith. And in it he imagined that some powerful hand had wiped away the influence of Jesus Christ on our civilization. And as a hand might wipe the writing from a chalkboard in a classroom, Christ was gone. He imagined himself going into the library to discover that every vestige of Christ's life and Christ's influence had disappeared. He opened his law books, which had contained legal safeguards protecting women, children, the poor, and the innocent. All Christian principles found huge sections missing. You look at nations today where there's no Christianity, and those groups are not protected. You look at where ISIS is today. No group is protected. He turned to his histories of art and found that some of the greatest world's masterpieces had disappeared. He turned to his literature books only to find blank pages where formerly there had been great writings of Dante, Milton, Browning, Tennyson, Wordsworth, Longfellow, Whittier, and many others. Stories like Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, completely gone. Next, he turned to the world of music and found gaping holes where there had once been works of musical genius such as the Messiah, which was utterly gone, not to mention the great hymns of the church that have been written over the years. But you know, if you think about those things are fairly insignificant in our world. Rogers then realized that if the influence of Christ were not present, the schools, the hospitals, the orphanages, the missions, and many of the world's greatest benevolent forces would all be gone as well. For they all had their roots in people that believed in Christ. Finally, the lawyer cried out that he wouldn't want to live in a world where Christ's influence was absent. You know, you don't even have to be a faithful Christian to be influenced by Jesus Christ, do you? So many people are. Christ has that kind of power. He has that kind of reach in our lives. You know, changes in countries and changes in cultures are brought about by Jesus Christ. He changes people. He changes entire nations. He changes the world. He makes us better. He makes us, our communities, better places to live. He makes our country a better place. He makes our world a better place. If only people would come to Him. But you know, at the end of the day, we have to take responsibility, do we not, as the Lord's church? That if we are going to change the world, if we're going to change our nation, if we're going to keep our nation in the right path, we're going to have to stand up and do something. We're going to have to stand and call people back to those very roots that made us what we were and what so many people don't want us to be today. There are movements today away from Christianity. Like I said, many say we're a post-Christian society. I don't believe that. There are many movements taking us away from Christianity and trying to remove God, but these changes will never make us a better nation. They will only destroy us in the end, for no nation can survive without God that ordains the power for a nation to exist. So as children of God and as citizens of any whatever nation any child of God may be a part of, may we always seek to make our nation something that God can use for His good throughout all time. Like I said, tonight's lesson was a little different. And I want us to understand what makes us a good nation and what would make us a good nation. Continue to allow us to be the kind of nation that we have been, a generous, kind nation, a beacon in a world of a lot of darkness. But it's going to depend upon us to hold the line as the Lord's church, because we hold the truth. And without the truth, we can never be what we need to be. This evening, if you're not a child of God, you need to understand that what Christ offers you is just better. It'll make you a better person. I'm not saying that you're a bad person right now or that you're a terrible person or not a nice person. That has nothing to do with it. You can be the nicest, kindest person in the whole world, and you can accept Jesus Christ and do what He has said and live the life that He has for you, and you will be better. You'll be kinder. You'll be better all the way around. Come to Him tonight and obey His gospel. If you're a child of God, maybe you have forgotten that you have a responsibility to stand in this world, stand for what is right, to be compassionate, to be loving, to stand against those things which are wrong, even at great cost. Then dedicate yourself to that today. Give yourself to the cause of Christ. If we can assist you in any way spiritually this evening, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.